podcast is part of the Sports Social Podcast Network.
Ladies and gentlemen, welcome to Eat, Sleep, Suplex, Retweet.
Welcome everybody to Saturday Draft Live with me, Phil McLeod, and only me, because for varying reasons, none of the other SDL co-hosts could be here today, because clearly I'm the only one who still gives a shit about this show. But it's okay, because I went out and I found somebody to co-host this show. We've never been a co-host on this show before, but he's still probably going to be better than all of them, because fuck him, I didn't like them anyway. This man wasn't very good at his last job, because according to his team name, he was financial advisor to Mr. Vince McMahon, and he clearly was not a good one. Please welcome Mr. who likes to be known in the show as well as Andre Michel, Anthony Mitchell.
You truly must be desperate if you've come to me for help for this draft live. It's an absolute pleasure to be here on this fine Saturday morning. Usually I'm in bed, but, you know, decided to get up and do this the draft, because that's how important it is to me.
Basically, we threw out into the universe, who could possibly join me? I need someone else to join me. Yes, he's right. I don't need thinkers or analytic people. I need doers. Somebody who'll go, fuck it. And, of course, Andy Mitchell is the best man for the job.
It's a pleasure. Again, it's a pleasure to be spending this Saturday morning with you.
Thank you. I could think of only a few other people I'd rather spend Saturdays with, but you'll do it now. Thank you very much.
Right, should we get on with this draft then?
I might fucking well while we're here. So, go to the top three of the week, and, well, it's three people closely associated with each other, because it's all three members of this new female stable in WWE, apparently now known as Damage Control, as WWE's failed the trademark for them, and that's what they're referred to on the official listings for Clash at the Castle coming up. You got my captain, Bailey, on 12 points, and you got Io Sky, who is on Ryan Dalglish's team, and Dakota Kai, who's on David Hockney's team, both at 14 points apiece. Bailey, my captain, is why she probably got 12 points. She finally wrestled for the first time this season, this past week on Raw, defeating Aaliyah, and also she's been making appearance points with the captaincy added, that adds up. And plus, Io and Dakota probably got a few more points because they won a semi-final match in the Women's Tag Team Title Tournament.
Yeah,
last week, and they're going to face Raquel Gonzalez and I believe it's Aaliyah next week on Raw. So clearly, when all three of these people re-debuted at SummerSlam, they all became hot prospects in the women's division for this season, and all three of them went in either the first or second round. So it's showing that obviously there's some new big hitters in the women's division for this draft, isn't it, Andy?
Yeah, it is. To be fair, with Damage Control, obviously, with Bailey coming back with this new faction and the lead up to Clash at the Castle, it's like they are trying to make them look strong. And again, Bailey's kind of a Triple H girl or guy, whatever sort of they want to be known these days. And again, it's like, I know Clash the Castle is only like a week away, but it's still like they got to kind of look strong, get them on Raws and Smackdowns as much as they can. And I think if they win this, then all yous will get some good points. Did you say Bailey's your team captain?
She is, yes.
Yeah, so again, it's like she's looking strong already going in. So I think that's like a really good points giver and could be a game changer for you to maybe get on top of that league table.
Yeah, definitely. Because, you know, I think my team's a bit of a slow one because I've got her competing at Clash of Castle, and I got a few AEW picks, and All Out is the following night, so, you know, the pay-per-view points are where it really matters. So, but what's amazing is, like, you talk about Bailey being a Triple H guy or girl, but it does seem recently anyone who's had any association with NXT in the past and appears on TV, they're automatically seemingly Triple H people because they've been booked very well, and Io and Dakota, or, you know, Kai in the Sky, I Can Fly Twice as High, as they should be called. Both on 14 points apiece, doing very well singles-wise, but given it seemed like they were already going to be booked as a tag team when they debuted, are you surprised that no one took the gamble to take them as a team?
Yeah, because I think it's a case of, I don't know, I think someone was probably worried that they would get the two tags, like Bailey or you know, Dakota Kai, or we're still talking about them, aren't we? Because I was looking at other information. You can edit this out, and then we can start again if you want. Because I was like, look, I'm trying to look at the analytics and listen at the same time as well as my own notes. So I was like, what's he talking about?
See, it's as easy as it looks.
No, it's not. It's like a lot
even
of...
like health stars like Andy Mitchell can't keep up with it.
Literally, I've got like three. I've got two. No, tell me, I've got three screens and paperwork, and I'm like trying to like work it out like I'm Tom Cruise in Minority Report. But again, what were you saying? So with the Bailey Dakota Kai, and is it Io Sky? Is that how you pronounce it?
Io Sky.
Again, yeah. As you were saying, it's like it's interesting that they came as like an individual picks. Well, that's easy points for who, you know, for the three three people that's picked. But again, I think I don't know. Maybe they just thought it might have been like a short lift stable. Who knows? Like going into like Cash of the Class. So, do you think they'll strong and have a long run towards the end of the year? Do you think this is like a strong team that will stay together?
Yeah. I like to think so, because it's interesting. They're doing the women's tag tournament final. I think it's this Monday on Raw. So they might go into the show as champions. So you wonder, is that going to make them losing? They set up Asuka and Alexa Bliss, who are going to be on the face team as challengers, or does Bayley need to get the win for the heel team to set her up as a challenger for Bianca Belair? Because a main reason for me picking Bayley was the thought that me hoping that she'd take the Raw Women's title some point this season. And so I'm hinging a lot of stuff on that.
Yeah, again, I think with Steven picking Bianca Belair, expecting maybe a title defense coming up, but it's like, and again, Bayley's return, it's going to be quite hard to see if Steven could try and steal them points away from yourself.
Yeah, because like Bayley at one point was one of the best draft performers just overall across like a number of seasons, like especially during 2020, because like season 5 and 6 was that prime pandemic era where she and Sasha were appearing on every fucking show. They had all the belts and everything, so that really added her overall. So I'm hoping she, now that she's back and healthy, she can, you know, hit the ground running and continue that run of success in the draft. But I've mentioned it before, it surprises me about Io and Dakota, because Dakota's had like a singles match. I don't think Io's had one yet on TV, but they've got like the same points value, so I don't think much would have changed if he did take them as a tag team.
Yeah.
So it's just my theory, but sorry. Well, let's go to the top 9 overall. And a man who won a couple of seasons ago as part of a tag team, still in last place, but he still got time to make it up. Andy Mitchell, Gary Kerr.
Jumped the gun there.
For the first time.
Yeah, I did see with Team Fizzera, Gary Kerrion, you know, that's a good pick, Roman Reigns, but again, he's more like a part-time champion at the moment. I know last week Jack was talking about, again, it's Drew McIntyre versus Roman Reigns for Clash at the Castle, and Jack feels that Roman's probably going to win. I don't know, the way they're booking Drew, I feel like, again, Gary might stay at that bottom, but with FTR as his tag team pick, and they're kind of, they've also got a match on that card, you know, you never know, he might be able to steal some more points. But yeah, it's a bit of a shame for a past champion to, you know, be low, but I still feel like with the way the points are, you know, it's still kind of like anyone's game.
I know, it feels like guys, you know, tried so hard and got so far, but in the end it just doesn't even matter. So he's just got to hope that the big dog stands tall in Cardiff. He's on 31 points. I think the reason I jumped again is just ahead of him is yourself, Andy Mitchell, with Vince McMahon's financial advisors.
I know.
5.5 points.
When I came into this draft, I was with your brother Ross as a tag team, and I think we were about the same position all the way through. And I sort of took some influences, so that's why I thought Thunder Rosa would be a good pick. But knowing what happened this week on AEW Dynamite, she's injured, she's out of the match, you know. And again, it's just like just a disaster of a pick. And although I'm hoping come the double with the All Out and Clash at the Castle, some of my picks are still in the game. So I'm hoping maybe I might be able to steal some points and also give that Vince McMahon more money for his birthday getaway of that mystery woman.
He's good. He's needing it. He's in the hole at the minute. I'll go through the rest of the leaderboard. Steven Wilson, 38 points to Wilson Wankers, most accurate team in draft history. Dan Axel Jameson had a hot start, part of the list, he was in like second or third position, but he's dropped down a little bit, 43 points, Balls of Jericho. It feels like someone's mocking me because I'm on 44 points with Ding Dong Cowboy shit. Just ahead of me is Grant on 50 points with What the Funaki. Ross has got 55 points, your former tag team partner with a full body Bordeaux's. and Gallagher's on 88.5 points. Northmen, Southmen, Comrades, all in. Jack Graham is still in the top position, 59, but he's now tied. We finally, a new challenger has emerged.
No, that's a really, oh, sorry.
No, on you go.
Just saying, that's really interesting how it's like the top three, it's literally, it's like a tie, but there's also a 0.5 with the, it'll be the battle of the Ryans that see like who's the better Ryan, Ryan D or Ryan G. So again, I think it all matters in the next week with that, those final appearances heading on to these two pay-per-views. You know, I feel like there's going to be a massive change come next week with this draft. I think it's going to be interesting. You don't know. I think, who knows if them three will still be on top. You know, I don't know. Maybe Grant might be able to work his way up. He's got some good picks in that draft.
Yeah, definitely. Because, like, you look at it from between Gary and, you know, the tie between Jack and Ryan, it's like 28 points, I believe, is what separates last place from first place, which at this stage in the season is not really, still not really that much, you know, when you compare it to, you know, people who are well at the bottom in past seasons. And like you said, we've got two major, like, pay-per-views, and you can technically, I think a few people have got people on that NXT show that's coming up as well. So that's going to be the first major, like, shift in terms of who's on top and who's on bottom in this. Yeah.
And again, I don't know, it might be Ross, because Ross has got, he's got two challengers challenging for a title, you know, and they're both going in looking strong. You know, I think he might try and steal these points and get, and he'll be on top, and we'll hear more about his Bordeaux boys, or whatever he calls his team.
Yeah. But unfortunately, you know, not everything can be all fun and games here in the draft, because with nobody else to throw it onto, and I didn't feel right doing it to poor Andy, I now also have to talk about the Listeners League.
Let me just change this over to the Listeners League. Again, there's quite a few players in this one. Is it up to 20, I see, since the last chat? Oh, it's over 20. It's like 30.
Nearly 30 odd people here in the top five. We got Mike Nunn with the Sports Entertainers on 40 points. Colin Blackburn, somebody we in the podcast know, in fourth place with it's the Five Star Frog Splash High Flyers and 42 points. Just ahead of him, Ross Brady, Tommaso Sauce, 43.5 points. Johnny Adam, last minute pick. Really, that last minute, if you're in second position, 52 points, and just 1 point ahead of him, Dave Pussy with Conrad.com.
Jesus.
It's just Stuart's team. Just Stuart. Imagine.
Come on, this is a PG show. It's 10 o'clock in the morning, you know.
Apparently, listen to this. They shouldn't, but they do. But Stuart clearly had a second name in the previous seasons, but somebody, a Vince McMahon type, is just up. No, you are first name, like Cesaro or Gunther.
Yeah, again, compared to the main draft picks and that, you know, it's again, it's quite neck and neck with the top five. But again, they're, you know, a good 5-6 points below Ryan D, Jack Rat and all that, you know. So again, it's not fair to compare. But yeah, it's looking quite good with the shorts. Can't even speak. It's looking really good. That coffee hasn't kicked in yet, Scott. That's what it is. With the Listeners League, yeah, it's looking quite like neck and neck. And do you feel like one of these guys, do you think we'll see them next season in their draft?
It's interesting because, like, a few of these guys, I believe it, are kind of living regulars in the Listeners League but haven't got a chance to win it yet, like Ross Brady and your Colin Blackburns. So you can never really kind of get this out. Like, the Listeners League can change, like, just within a few days. Like, you can buy, like, so-and-so's number one, and like, oh no, now he's tied with this person. But like we've said in the past, like, these guys literally just get their pick of the litter on, like, the rest of us. They get told, here's for everyone else, but you need to pick one from each round and form your team as long as you've got the 2-3 split in the tag team. And so they've got literally their pick of the litter, but look how close it is between like the bottom three and like the top two are separated by 1 point. Like, it still shouldn't be this competitive at this stage. And like, it's pushing hardworking drafters like sixth position, Ron Wilson with the bus drivers. He's being pushed out by 1 point as well. The
purpose. It's just another Wilson family member that we don't know about. It's just trying to work his way in through nepotism.
He's the Ezekiel to Stevens, Elias.
Nah, but best of luck with all the listeners' leagues. Again, it's looking neck and neck, and that's what makes it interesting, because you never know who's going to actually like come out on top.
Yeah, you never know how well they're going to do, because like Dan Axel Jameson, like, he's a bit lower down, but his start this season was one of the better starts, I think, of a listeners' league competitor, and like on paper, he's got one of the stronger, you know, teams that a listeners' league competitor has ever had, and you know, it makes a change with Adam Callie, who just seemed to make baffling decision after baffling decision. In the last season, switching out Carmelo Hayes, NXT North American Champion, for Akira Tozawa, like new levels of fucking stupidity. That boy, you can tell I don't hold on to these kind of things.
No, I can tell you're not a massive fan of the listeners' leagues by the sounds of it. No pun intended.
No, but please get involved, and you too can join in the flaggings. But we also believe with this listeners' league. Or at least Ryan O'Gleese now believes it, and we all believe it because he suggested it, that we'd like to see if we could do it better, because we probably could. So it's becoming a thing now on the list on Saturday Night Live for the next couple of weeks, where basically we look at everybody who's been selected the same way the listeners we do, like the pool from round one, round two and everything, and we basically use that to pick our own like listeners league team. We don't need to pick our own picks, we got pick of the lot, much like the listeners league's doing. Basically, we're trying to see, if we were in the listeners league, could we do any better or score any higher than the listeners league people? It's not really a for anything, it's just wee competition between the SDL guys. So David took far too much delight in doing his last week. He selected his team. Something big bobbies with the title of, I don't know. Clearly some wishful thinking on David's part. And Ryan Dalglish was meant to be here to select his team, but he's again not here, so he's left me with his draft team. He just put above it greatest listener of all time, so I'm assuming that's the name of his team. I'll read you his team. Out of the first round pool, which includes Rowan Reigns, John Moxley, Usos, Drew McIntyre, Liv Morgan, Austin Theory, Bayley, Bianca Belair, Miz and Bobby Lashley, Ryan has selected Bayley as his first round pick and his captain for his listeners league team to beat. For the second round pool, we got FTR, Claudio, Wardlow, Shayna Baszler, Tommaso Ciampa, Io Sky, Young Bucks, Seth Rollins, Kai, as well as Gunther. And he's also like the non-member Damage Control and Io Sky, who's obviously been doing well for him, so that makes sense. From the third round pool, we have Mandy Rose, Montez Ford, the Creed Brothers, Adam Page, Banks and Naomi, Thunder Rosa, Judgment Day, Jake Cargill, Swerve and Our Glory, and Adam Cole. And he selected Swerve and Our Glory as his tag team, Keith Lee and Swerve Strickland, who've got a big tail defense coming up for those tag team titles. Fourth round, Phil, Alexa Bliss, Roxanne Perez, Nikita Lyons, Scarlett, the D'Angelo family, Karrion Kross, Zoe Stark, Rhea Ripley, and Anna Jay, and Aiden Carr and Katana as the NXT Women's Tag Team Champions. And he has selected Karrion Kross from that lineup. From the fifth round pool, Asuka, the acclaimed, Carmelo Hayes, Jungle Boy, Cora Jade, AJ Styles, Pac, Ricochet, Tony Storm, and Kevin Owens. He has picked Kevin Owens. And from the final round, Phil, which includes Ronda Rousey, Malakai Black, Stokely Hathaway, Bron Breakker, Christian Cage, Sami Zayn, Matt Riddle, Wheeler Yuta, Dan Hammerjam. That's why they used to go, Dan Hammerjam. like Bron Breakker, the NXT champion from the lineup. So, final. For those who weren't listening, the final tally of Ryan Dalglish's listeners' league team to be, and believe me, he's probably got a different perspective on this. As he came from the listeners' league, he knows how they think. He has Bayley as his captain. He also in first round pick. He's also got Io Shirai or Io Sky, Swerve and Keith Lee, Karrion Kross, Kevin Owens, and NXT champion Bron Breakker. Now, whether you're in the listeners' league or in the main draft, that's one hell of a team, I think.
Yeah. Don't know, you just said a lot of jargon there. I'm like, okay, yeah.
Basically, like, we're in the listener league. Can we do any better? And this is who Ryan O'Leish has picked: Bayley, Io, Swerve, Karrion, Kevin Owens, and Bron Breakker. He doesn't get any additional points. It's just a case of I don't know how we're going to work out, but by some medical, his team does better than our make believe teams. Then whatever.
Well, best of luck to him with that. That's all I can say.
Yeah. This matters to someone somewhere, presumably. There you go. But we're not here to talk about make-believe teams that Ryan O'Leary doesn't have. His main team is already fighting for first place. We're here to talk about actual teams, and we're here to talk about Andy Mitchell's team. Andy's first season, I believe, as a singles competitor. You came in as a tag team competitor alongside Ross McLeod, and I'm sure if it was up to you, you would choose a different tag team partner next time around.
I probably would. Again, that Shane McMahon pick, like, I respected Ross until he threw that into our thing. He was like, it's going to work out. And then within, I don't even think a week had went past and Shane McMahon was released by his own dad. So, yeah. So that's all. So I don't trust Ross anymore. I'd like to, if there's another tag team draft, might try and get someone else. But again, my team, I thought it was quite strong, but I think two members, AJ Styles and Tommaso Ciampa, are probably my strongest picks, but they just keep getting paired off. So it's essentially I'm gaining points and losing points at the same time.
Yeah, so your team, you got AJ, Tommaso, you got Liv Morgan, Thunder Rosa, the D'Angelo family is your tag team, and you got Christian Cage. Christian Cage is a big match coming up. They officially confirmed it will be him versus the guy on my team, actually, Jungle Boy, at All Out. But yeah, a big kick in the balls already, like, and you can't really blame this one on Ross, sadly.
No, again, other than the Thunder Rosa injury, I feel like going into these two pay-per-views, I might be able to steal some points, but again, it might not happen. Gary might overtake me and I might be bottom of the pile.
Oh, God, I'm admitting you'll have been a bottom occasionally. You do have Liv Morgan. She was your first round pick as a SmackDown Women's Champion. I know you said you have some confidence in gaining points going into these pay-per-views. So is the reason you didn't particularly put the captaincy on her being a champion and said chose AJ Styles?
Again, it's just more because AJ Styles is, he's just shown up a lot. You know, he was in a title match against Bobby Lashley. Again, I wanted Bobby Lashley, but I felt going in, maybe Liv Morgan might have been a stronger champion, but I can't complain. So I just felt like maybe AJ, and he has been on TV, and I think maybe that's probably why I'm not bottom, because I think AJ's styles is keeping me afloat just a little bit.
I think it's what's not helped you go any further is that both Tommaso and AJ have sadly gone up against US champion Bobby Lashley and not been successful.
And Jack's just stealing all them points.
I know, the greedy bastards.
Yeah. But again, with your team as well, you've got Bayley, Young Bucks, Adam Page, Zoe Stark, Jungle Boy, and Matt Riddle. Me and you will be going head to head on points come All Out.
Yeah, I was actually happy when I saw Rampage last night and saw the Dark Order and Mystery Partner, and I was convinced it was going to be a hangman, which meant two of my picks would be going up against each other, and said, oh no, it's number 10 of the Dark Order. Like, oh good, easy points for the Bucks come All Out, hopefully. Yeah, so and like coming it All Out, you got Thunder Rosa. So you took in the first three rounds, you took like the two top women's champions right now, so which on paper would be solid, but then like you said, we couldn't plan for Thunder Rosa's entry. But
no,
I think you kind of dodged the bullet anyway, because from what I heard, you know, in the scuttlebutt, because I, you know, keep up to date with rumors, because I'm going to be hosting Central in the next couple of weeks. Rumors are that she was going to lose it All Out anyway to Toni Storm.
Apparently she's got a lot of backstage heat at the moment, I've been reading, and probably this injury is probably a blessing in disguise for herself to maybe come back and actually like mend some bridges. Again, I think they did say they tried to make the AEW's Women's Championship strong by putting it on her, but they haven't really done much with her. I think it's like with what Dan has managed to do with his pick with Jade Cardew. You know, she's on TV all the time. She's got a title defense coming up as well, and I think that probably would have been a better champion to pick.
Yeah, especially when you factor in the whole undefeated thing. But then again, you never know. All undefeated, you can come to an end of the year. You never know when they're going to finally pull the trigger on that. But yeah, I've heard all the stories, like Thunder Rosa, she's more disliked backstage than getting in a car with Grant McRobbie after a fucking curry. But you got your tag team. You think you took them very low down in terms of the rankings, because, like, I think it was like the fourth round you picked your tag team, because that was implemented this season. You could pick your tag team in any round. Did it come to a point where you're going through the draft, all these picks are getting snapped up, and then was there a point you suddenly realized, like, oh shit, I've not took my tag team yet?
Yeah, I kind of was like hoping that Judgment Day, like no one would go for it, and that kind of threw me off. So it was, and I just didn't really know. I was like, oh, because again, WWE's tag team division has been a bit of a, it's not been that good, but now with Triple H taking over, it seems to be there's like more tag teams coming out the woodwork. And again, AEW, I don't watch a lot of the content before this draft. Now actually following a lot. I feel like what's good with this draft, listeners and the actual league, is like it gets you more invested into the product. So it's kind of a little part of me wish I picked Lucha Brothers, which I'm surprised I've got picked because they've been on TV pretty much every week and they've got wins every week.
Yeah. I mean, the Judgment Day aren't doing as much. I think they've got like a full 2 more points than the D'Angelo family. So it's as if you're missing out on a large, well of points there. But like I said, you're hopefully turn some things around come the pay-per-view and everything.
Again, we're still in fresh days with this draft. You never know. 2 pay-per-views coming up. It might just change. That Jack might not get his back-to-back win.
Oh, no, we can't allow that. We can't allow that. But, you know, you got Tommaso Ciampa. I think he's the guy who will get you a lot of points. I see he's kind of on the up with this little team with the Miz, and they're kind of pushing him eventually, I think, to be a singles guy on the main roster.
I was just saying, again, I think with Triple H taking over as head of creative, I think that influenced a lot of people's picks. We're trying to go for people who may have been late Triple H guys. Again, I'm surprised no one went for Sheamus because now he's got a big match coming up, but Clash at the Castle against Gunther. Who picked Gunther again?
Gunther was picked by Jack.
Yeah, so again, it's like Bobby Lashley might win, but Gunther might lose because I think heavy rumours suggest that Sheamus might be coming out on top on a Clash at the Castle.
So, if, like I say, you've got a chance to switch your captaincy at least once in this season, and if AJ doesn't work out the way you can hope to identify like Love by some miracle makes out a card for the title. Or like Tommaso gets a few more wins. Is there anybody you'd consider switching the captaincy to if you had to suddenly make that choice? I mean, it's just as well you didn't put it on Thunder Rosa.
Oh, I know. No, again, I think probably would go for Tommaso Ciampa. Again, he's a great wrestler. He's got a great character. As you said, he's getting paired with the Miz. You know, there's a lot of sort of rumblings underneath. Who knows what's going to happen in the next few months? Again, with this rumor that they're wanting to split the championships, but maybe keep them mid-card, have them have a feud with Bobby Lashley, and you never know. There might be a title change, and then they might get Bobby Lashley to, you know, go for one of the bigger titles.
Yeah, it's always possible. Just as long as Bobby Lashley doesn't win another second title, because that will add more points to Jack, as we said. The last thing that bastard needs is more points and more bloody draft wins. And like I said, I believe this is your first solo season, if I'm not mistaken, or at least one of your few like solo seasons. So even if your team doesn't finish too kind of high on the leaderboard, I mean, there's still a lot to learn here for next time. Is there enough of an interest to you to like keep coming back, even if you don't win this season?
Yeah, I think I would come back again. I think the drafts like made me more interested again in wrestling. I kind of went out a little bit, and with everything that's happening in AEW, I know there's like drama behind the scenes, and then with Triple H taking over, and it just makes it, so there's something about it, it's making it a bit more like exciting and actually like watching, like worth watching these days. And again, there's 2 back-to-back pay-per-views coming up. So yeah, I think next time, hopefully I'll be able to pick some better picks and not have any injuries.
Yeah, I hope for. But like I said, all of our teams are good on paper, but it makes you can't really plan for these kind of things. But you know, if you stick around next year to the tag team season, you know, hopefully the wheel will be kinder to you, and you'll have somebody who cares enough not to go for a McMahon family member this time around. But Andy, thank you very much for stepping in where others were unable to this week.
No problem. It's quite hard to sort of see when you're sat because we've not got cameras on. But no, it's been great. Hopefully, maybe if they need a guest again, I had a really fun time. Other than the sort of technical part of it, where I'm actually looking about 3 different screens, I think, yeah, it was quite fun to chat about the draft.
Yeah, it's always good to have you on. And thank you, everybody, for listening. Hopefully, we can get Andy back on soon. Remember, Saturday Draft Live goes up every Saturday, obviously, on the Eat, Sleep, Suffice, Retreat podcasting feed. We have feature shows that go up, usually on a weekly basis, one of our more recent features also includes the What Do You Mind of Andy Mitchell and myself competing on Quiz Showdown alongside like the Kwaku Aji and Chris Anthony Lopez in the Great British Quiz Off. And we've got another one coming in a couple of months. We've got ESR Central. Me and Ross did one earlier in the week, and I'll be taking over as host in the next couple of weeks while Ross gallivants another bloody holiday. And tomorrow on the podcasting feed, another episode of East Meets West with myself and Grant McRobbie will be coming out. You can also keep up to date with everything going on ESR on our social media channels, Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, all that's the place we treat. Join our Facebook community page, get involved in the conversation. Maybe you too can do mildly okay at the Listeners League and maybe even win it at some point. But, you know, be known, but be prepared for a slagging. That's everything we've got going on here at ESSR. That's all my plugging there the way. Andy, thank you very much. You stepped in as the Mr. Sneebly to this particular draft class.
No problem. It's been a pleasure. And again, best of luck to everyone in the league except Jack.
Anyone but you, Jack.
Sports Social Podcast Network.